We are nearing the 2024 NFL draft, where the Arizona Cardinals could be movers and shakers. Here to talk about it with us, host a talk show in Houston, Texas, also an NFL draft analyst for NFL.com, Lance Zierlein, kind enough to join us this morning on the Arizona Sports Line. Lance, good morning.
Lance.
How are you, man?
How are we doing, guys? How are we doing?
Doing well. We were having a discussion earlier, and we've been having the discussions for so long about Monty Austin-Fort sitting pretty at number four with the Cardinals and all these teams ringing the phones. What are the New England Patriots going to do at number three? I think that's kind of where the focus is going on the start of the draft, if you will.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. So on my last mock that I had, which was about 3 weeks ago, I had Monty trading out with the Minnesota Vikings and then trading back up to get his hands on Dallas Turner. And I think that, you know, if Monty does trade back, he still needs to, I think at some point, collecting all this draft capital is great, but you need to sit down and take some really good players. So even if he did trade back out of the number four spot, I think he would be at some point aggressive in moving back up. I do think there would be at least two draft picks made in the first round for the Arizona Cardinals. So I do think Monty's going to be aggressive moving back up the board. Mm-hmm. Like he did. He did that with Paris Johnson, right?
I think
he came back up.
Yeah.
So that's normal. I think that's normal. You trade back to gain some amount of capital and you trade back up and still get the players you like. So I do think that there is a 50-50 chance that could be that fourth. I don't know about 50-50. I'll say there's a 40% chance, probably closer to 35% chance he moves the pick. But if he does move the pick, I'd say there's about an 80% chance that he aggressively moves up either back into the first round or moves up early in the second round, potentially even trading, you know, with the 33rd pick, 34th pick.
I want to ask you about quarterbacks, but first I want to ask you about wide receivers. We're collecting opinions from people who know. Are these three guys all grading out very close together, or is there some separation? Is Marvin Harrison Jr. clearly the dude at that position?
Oh, no, he's not. I mean, it's him and Neighbors, and then a little below that is Roma Dunze. Marvin is the most polished, the most explosive is Malik Neighbors, and then the best ball winner is Roma Dunze. And so depending on – all of them have good size. Depending on what you covet, what you prioritize as a team, as a philosophy, an organizational philosophy, you may have different feelings. There's plenty of teams that have Malik Neighbors ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. So this is – but I think everyone will tell you it's pretty close that those three are clearly – in a different level. Some people love Roma Dunze and others aren't as high on him. I think with Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Neighbors, it comes down to, so there's a little, just a small amount of mystery with Malik with Marvin Harrison Jr. only because he didn't go through really any of the processes before the draft, not the typical processes. So that may bother some teams. For other people, as long as they have medicals on them, and as long as, you know, they like the tape, they're not going to care as much. And as long as they like the person and they've got to, you know, get to know the person as well as they can. I think Marvin has had some interviews with teams and certainly made some top 30 visits. But with Malik Neighbors, you have somebody who's more explosive, who's faster, who has the ability, I think, to be a bigger deep ball threat. So right now, Marvin Harrison Jr. is the polished of the two. The guy with a little higher ceiling for me is Neighbors, but typically when you talk about higher ceiling, you also have to mention a little lower floor than Marvin Harrison Jr. But so that's where I would be on those two guys. I'd be shocked if the Cardinals don't have their choice of the two. I don't think any other wide receiver is going to go inside the top three. Mm-hmm. But I am interested to see, you know, who they look at, who they feel like fits Kyler Murray the best, or they even doing anything with Kyler Murray in consideration. I mean, there's a chance, and maybe the smart move is not to draft a wide receiver for your quarterback. Draft him just for the organization, because you never know what's going to happen with that quarterback position. And anyway, all three of these guys would be good targets for Kyler, so it doesn't really matter.
Lance Zierlein, NFL.com, our guest here on Bickley and Marotta Mornings. I want to stay on receivers because you mentioned your latest mock draft from about 3 weeks ago, and you did have a good amount of wheeling and dealing by the Cardinals. They would end up in your projection, trading with Seattle for that 16 pick and getting what a lot of people think is the fourth best wide receiver in this draft, and that's Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU. Uh-huh. In terms of dropping, and the numbers are gaudy, and he had 17 touchdowns last year and played in that prolific offense, but when we're talking about drop-off, you had those three guys elevated. How big is the drop-off to Brian Thomas Jr., and could he grow into a wide receiver one in your mind?
Well, athletically, the drop-off is very minimal. I mean, if maybe not at all. The production, the athleticism, the size, everything checks out. And talking to people behind the scenes, they'll tell you that he doesn't quite have the same competitive nature that Malik Nabers has. Not to say he's not a competitive player, but he doesn't have quite that same dog mentality. But I know his wide receiver coach at LSU has told some different scouts that, hey, this is a guy who has another level of football still in him. So you look at all that productivity, you look at the size, the speed, the ability to win catches in the air, and it's exciting to think. I mean, for me, it is the big three, and then Brian Thomas is in his own category, and then you go to everyone else. So I think Brian Thomas, could he be a wide receiver one? Yeah, if he has the wide receiver one mentality. I think he has the wide receiver one traits. I think he has the wide receiver one ability. But a big part, when you look around the true wide receiver ones, is that mentality, the competitiveness, that dog mentality that really separates those types of players. And I think that's one thing that he'll have to, you know, will have to be answered as he moves along. But one thing that's not in doubt is when it comes to his ability to be a really good wide receiver, that's not really in question. Mm-hmm. And I also think it's not really in question that the next guy, you know, after the top three wide receivers, the next guy up pretty much for everyone is going to be Brian Thomas Jr.
When you look at the quarterbacks, the college season ended. It was Drake May and Caleb Williams. It was like chocolate and ice cream and vanilla ice cream. Some like one, some like the other. Now it's Caleb 1 and Jaden Daniels 2. How do you assess and rank the quarterbacks, and how many are going to go in the first 10 picks?
Well, I think 4 are going to end up going in the first 4 picks. And I've got Caleb and Jaden Daniels basically head-to-head. I mean, Jaden had the better. You'll be hard-pressed to find anyone who didn't say Jaden Daniels has the best tape from this year. You'd almost have to be trying to find something else to say it's Caleb Williams or really anyone else. Bo Nix had a really good year on tape as well. But when you look at a pro-style type of passing attack and you want to talk about production, you want to talk about, you know, the ability to play dynamic football, it's Jaden Daniels in terms of encompassing everything. And, of course, Caleb Williams has a lot of that stuff in his background as well. I think that Caleb offers you a high upside, but there's things on tape that bother me because he really takes a lot of plays off schedule unnecessarily. He won't just take the singles, meaning, you know, the quick 3-yard gain and let somebody try to catch and run for a first down when it's 3rd and 6. He has to try to play hero ball all the time. And while it's commendable that he has that confidence in himself and he wants to make plays, and does have the ability to make some plays, he takes some unnecessary sacks. He does some unnecessary things that he needs to work out of the system. I mean, the NFL just can't be a pure league of extending plays. We've seen that with Kyler at times. You got to have a quarterback who understands how to move forward. And if it's time to throw a completion and punt, if it's time to throw the ball away and punt, that's part of pro football too. So I think reining that in is going to be an issue, but as they always say, you'd rather say whoa than go to a quarterback.
Right.
You'd rather pull a guy in than you'd have to, hey, we know there's something else in there. Let's try to get a little bit more out of him. As far as Drake May is concerned, that was just a narrative that was built up in the available, you know, draft media that was out there. Never was that way on tape. When you look at tape, Drake May's just got some wild inconsistencies from an accuracy standpoint. He doesn't play consistent enough football. The productivity level is not where it should be. The talent's there, but I think I gave him a 6.5 in my grades, which is a boom bust grade. It's the same I gave to Zach Wilson. It's the same I gave, I believe, to Justin Fields and some others. There's just certain guys that, you know, could be really good, but you're a little bit worried. You go in there a little worried about him, and he's one of those guys for me. So I think Jaden and Caleb should clearly be the first two. If it's Drake, then some, you know, then Washington just loves the physical dimensions because Jaden is a little thinner quarterback, and Drake looks like a pro quarterback. And then if J.J. McCarthy somehow sneaks in there, well, then we're talking about a lot of intangibles.
Yeah. Lance, great stuff.
Thanks
so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.